Again, welcome everyone. This morning, we are doing the final in our series on David, and it is blessing the next generation. And so I invite you into 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 20, and this is David's final prayer. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, and God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. But Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for you, building your temple for your holy name, comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and your thoughts in the heart of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, statutes, and decrees, and to do everything, and to build the palatial structure for which I have provided." Then David said to the whole assembly, "Praise the Lord your God." So they all praise the Lord. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Oh, last words. Man, there's some incredible ones in histories and some fun ones as well. I don't know if you've seen on the internet, there is a guy by the name of Shay Bradley who knew that he was passing away from cancer, and he was a guy that just loved to laugh and make other people laugh. And so when he was coming into his final weeks, he made special plans for his funeral. And then when they were at the funeral service itself and they were lowering the casket into the ground, there was this pre-recording that he had done, and it was knocking and saying, "Hello, hello," out there. And he began to say, "I just called to say goodbye." Now, they warned the few people who had heart conditions ahead of time that this was coming, but you can see the expression on the crowd. And his daughter said, she said, "What a wonderful man. He made us laugh in the middle of our tears. What a blessing." Well, on the other end of the spectrum, you probably know that Billy Graham preached his own funeral service. He had it pre-recorded. Now, there were lots of other pieces, but Billy Graham decided that he wanted to preach his funeral, and he has this beautiful videotape that they played during this wonderful memorial service that was powerful and I think had a lasting impact. And I don't know what our services will be, but this is David's last moment publicly with all the people. And David makes it about prayer. And in this prayer, I think, are some key elements for all of us. Now, I hope you have enjoyed this series on David. And sometimes we pick up pieces of David's life, but to see it in all of the contours from when he was chosen by Samuel as the least likely to be king and to be honored, and then David being willing to step forward in faith and to face the giant Goliath, and then David's amazing friendship with Jonathan, secrets in friendship that we can apply to our lives, and then David's rise as a warrior king, then David as a king who pursued in his best chapters righteousness and justice for everyone in the kingdom. And then, of course, we looked at David's failure and what to do with failure. And David, of course, had failure with Bathsheba and also with her husband Uriah. And we've talked about what it means to face our failure and to come to God in grace. And God is always there to forgive and to welcome us home. We looked at David as the struggling parent and what it means to learn from David's mistakes so we can all be better parents. And then we looked at David's generous heart. And today we look at David's prayer. And as we look at this prayer, there's, I think, three things that are really important. And the first part of this prayer really falls naturally into three pieces, is a psalm. It's all about praise. And I want you to listen to some of these phrases here. He starts out, David, praise the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel. And then he goes on to say, yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory, the majesty and splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. Do any of those phrases sound familiar? Where do you remember it from? The Lord's Prayer. Yeah. People decided what they wanted to do was to incorporate this part into the Lord's Prayer. And so you don't see that in Jesus' prayer in the gospel. But people thought it was so important to say, right, for that is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It comes from this prayer right here. And it's interesting because in David's life, I think as you get older, maybe you become truer to who you are. And David could have chose the more sour chapters of his life, the failures that were real, that were widely known, or he could choose the moments of praise and thanksgiving. And David chose to give thanks to God. And I think that is a big tell in David's life, and in ours too. And for all of us, in whatever chapter of life we're in, what are we focusing on? The negative, the positive, the praise and glory to God? Now, I don't know, a little biblical trivia here, but who knows what tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel led the way into battle? Does anyone know that? Always one tribe led the way into battle. I don't know if we got my Sunday school people out here. Nope. Good guess. Priests. Nope. 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 It was Judah. It was always Judah. And you know what the word Judah means? I just said it. Praise. It means praise. Judah means praise. And I think there is a secret there for all of us that when you're facing difficulties, tragedy, adversity in life, you lead the way into battle with praise. Now, it is not always easy to give praise, and it's usually difficult in our most difficult chapters in life. Now, David wasn't sugarcoating his life. He met real challenges, but David learned to praise God in the midst of things. And sometimes we don't give praise for the things themselves, though good comes from them, but we can always praise God. And you think about David, he's praising God for creation, for the beauty, for the kingdom of God, and all God's majesty and wonder, and he's able to do that at a moment when he knows it's his closing chapter in life. To praise, how are we doing with praise in our life? And there's the key here, too, is that David is trying to pass praise on to the next generation. So ask yourself, what are you trying to pass on to the next generation? There's lots of things that we're trying to pass on, but what about praising the Lord? How are we doing with passing on praise to the next generation? There's something else that's here, too, is that David, in the midst of this praise, overwhelmingly, it begins and ends with praising God. But David also praises 30 mighty men and gives them great credit in a little note there. And those were the greatest fighters that he had. So David wasn't taking credit for building the kingdom at this moment. He's taking a moment before the people to give thanks and praise to some of the mighty that were out there that helped in that. And then, most importantly, to pass praise on to the next generation. The second piece, the middle part of this, is all about generosity. In this moment, David had gone in later stages in life. David is now 70 years old. We believe he's been on the throne roughly 40 years. That's a long kingdom anywhere. In that day, it was unusual to live to be 70 years old, and David had done that. And David, as his final thing, wanted to build a temple for the Lord, a house of the Lord. And we talked about that more in depth last week. And the Lord told David, no. He said, there's too much blood on your hands. You cannot build my house, but your son Solomon will build that house for me. And so David was not put off by that. He began to build plans with Solomon, to drop plans for the temple. And David raised funds for the temple. And David was first in line. He was generous, overwhelmingly generous. And David, as he was planning this, is mentoring Solomon. I think in that moment, David had great joy. But in all of this, he sets a great example in giving, but he also says this, which I think is amazing, that all of that we have is really from God. Everything that we have is from God, and so we give back what is the Lord's to the Lord. It says this, Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. What a beautiful concept in life. You know, so often in life, we tend to take credit for the good things and the negative things we blame other people for. But in this moment, David has very much a gracious and generous heart. And he wants Solomon to build this temple, and he wants the people to enjoy this temple. And David is blessing the temple and the people and all the work, and he's doing it with great joy and life. And so for us, praise in our hearts and lives and generosity, and then finally, to have a right heart. And when you look at this section coming into when David blesses Solomon, he talks in his own mind. I think he's thinking about himself. He says, God, you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. And I bet in that moment, David felt the weight of that, of his failures and shortcomings. But he knows how important it is to have a heart right with God. And if you think about it for a moment, it's all right. If you were going to give a final prayer for your son or your daughter, what would it be? What would you ask for in that prayer? Thanks, that's good. Would you ask for riches? Would you ask for success? Would you ask for fame? What is it that you would ask for? David, interestingly, even after he sort of highlights for a moment that his own heart wasn't always what it could be, David prays for the people that they would always have a heart that is right with God and do the commandments of God, follow faithfully the commandments of God. And then David specifically prays for Solomon that he would have a heart that is right with God. Not for success, not even for wisdom, mind you, that Solomon was later famous for, but for a heart that is right with him. And so listen to these words that he says. He said, and give my son Solomon wholehearted devotion, which is also a right heart. And some people say a pure heart, to keep your commandments and statutes and decrees and to do everything, and then to build the palatial structure, which is the temple, that I have provided. And when you think about David asking and praying for Solomon in that moment, what a beautiful moment to know that you are about to pass away and to know that you have a chance in front of all the people to bless your son Solomon, but in front of everybody to call him to a right heart. And he knows, as David is praying for this, it's different between actions and our activities. And David knows his own shortcomings, and so he emphasizes in there to do and to keep the statutes of God. What are you imparting to your kids? Maybe not the last moment of life, but right now. Don't wait for them. What are you imparting to your kids? What values? What are the most important things? For David, who had his share of failures and shortcomings, it's have your heart right with God and not even be half-hearted. So that word that he's using there is wholehearted, which is not half-hearted. Don't go halfway, you know, through the things of the Lord, but give everything you've got. And when you do that, you will discover some joy that is amazing in life. And so as David is praying there, there's also some beautiful imagery here in that David is praying that he will build the temple. Now, of course, David wanted, when he says palatial structure, some people might think, oh, that's he's talking about his palace. No, David's palace was built long ago, right? He's talking about the temple of the Lord and the building materials. Now, this is kind of an interesting imaging, I think, that's in this, is that David, of course, will never see the temple built from the side of eternity. He's drawn up the plans with Solomon. It becomes a moment where he's mentoring Solomon in life, and he's raised the funds for this temple. But Solomon has to build it. And here's something for our own lives. David provided the building materials, but Solomon had to build it. And so you and I as parents, we can provide some building materials and even a little bit of funding in some sense, but our kids have to build the house of the Lord, their house of the Lord, our church family, their family. And the question to us is, what building materials are we giving them? Not literally, 2x4s and what have you, but what building materials are we giving them? Integrity. Are we giving them God's word? Do we share in prayer with them? What materials are our legacy to them so they can carry out our dreams and aspirations for them, that they would be men and women of God? It's so, so important in life. Now, David, in this moment, is giving a public proclamation in front of everyone. You can see what David said privately to his son Solomon, but it's very much the same thing. It is in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And this is what David says privately to Solomon in his closing moments. When the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. He said, "I'm about to go the way of all the earth. So be strong, act like a man of God, and observe the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him. Keep his decrees and commandments, his laws and regulations, as it's written in Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go." His closing moments publicly and that privately matched together. David was commissioning his son. So today, when we think about blessing the next generation, as we think about our young people and our Sunday school teachers and, of course, all the parents, and listen, we all know grandparents and great-grandparents, man, you have a huge role too, because kids see, they don't just hear what we say, they see what we do, and so we set a great example for them. And so I challenge all of us to cheer our kids on, to bless the next generation, even as David did Solomon. And when we do that, some important things will come about, which is hopefully we'll teach them to praise, we'll teach them to have a generous heart, and we'll teach them to have a right heart and a whole heart, right? What is the greatest command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. I'm going to close with this thought when we think about Solomon's final prayer, which is, I was just reading about Drew Brees. Great week for Purdue football, so we celebrate that. And just after Hurricane Katrina, I took a group of Purdue students down to New Orleans to help the rebuilding effort, and some of that got out to Drew Brees, who was the new quarterback in town back then, when they had gone just won 3 games the year before. And he was busy trying to, you know, do something great there, just even as he set a great example here. And we didn't get to meet him, but he wrote us a beautiful letter. And part of that letter was really about faith. And he shared, as we read this with our young students, about living a life that is important. And it wasn't just in the opening chapter of his career in the NFL. He just, of course, finished last year and wants to do more things. But I was just reading about how his faith meant so much to him. And he shared that he said that through the trials and all of the triumphs of his life, the consistent thing that he turned to as his go-to weapon is prayer. And so much so that he's sharing some of his stories on that new app, prayer.com. But he wanted to find a way to pass it on to the next generation, the secret and the power of prayer, not to just his kids, but the whole generation of people out there, in a way that would touch people in their context, which is this app. Today, for all of us, we have an opportunity. We may not be King David, we may not be Drew Brees, but you and I, as parents, as grandparents, as great-grandparents, we have an opportunity to bless the next generation. I challenge us to do exactly that, to teach them the power of praise and prayer, to teach them to have a generous heart, to build what is the Lord's and will last for eternity, and to teach them to live wholeheartedly. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Amen.